What's up, everybody? It's Monday, April 22nd. That means it's time for Black Twitter, 7 p.m. here on BHL. And we got a full show for you guys tonight. We got some Old Town Road beef. We got a gentrifier over in D.C., over on Howard University. What's up with that? Kanye and his church clothes, that whole hashtag, church clothes at Sunday service. Don't forget, we got my dope woke segment. It's going to be real hot for you guys. Plus a special co-host, special guest coming in.
Tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Yeah. Ivana knows. She's getting to find out how tight I am.
Ivana!
We talked about this.
We did talk about it.
I'm so happy to be here. This is so dope.
Thank you. I'm glad to have you. Yes. You came highly recommended. And Ivan is finding out how turned up I am. And, you know, I just got to get my energy level high.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, everybody, we got a great show for you tonight. Here we come to you, Black Twitter. We come to you every Monday at 7 here at BHL. And once again, we got some really hot topics. We were talking about Kanye's funky church clothes.
Oh.
At Coachella. We were also talking about this. I don't know if you heard about this guy who's being labeled like the gentrifier or like the white privilege guy at DC. Okay, at Howard.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, you know, we've got some really woke-ish coming up. That's kind of like my specialty. So, before we get into it, everybody, let me formally introduce Ivana.
Hi, everyone.
She's sitting in as a guest host.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like we've crossed each other, but we've never been able to work together. Yeah. So this is so dope, and I'm so excited.
Glad.
It's been a minute. I'm so happy to be here.
Good to have you.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just jump right in.
Okay, let's do it. I'm excited.
All right, everybody. Old Town Road. Have you guys been following this phenomenon with this song by rapper Lil Nas X?
Yes.
It's a blend of country and hip-hop.
Yes.
So first of all, Ivana, tell me, have you heard the song? What do you think of it?
Of course I've heard the song. I love it. I've been trying to put my friend on to it because she didn't hear about it. But I love it. And as a person, like, I'm from the South. Of course, y'all can hear it in my voice. But as somebody from Texas, like, I've been wanting so long to see black people take over the country genre. And I understand people feeling like it's not really country, but I don't care. I love it.
I love it, too.
It's bomb.
I love it, too. And honestly, when you hear, just not no dig at, like, Nelly, but when I hear Nelly do, like, a, quote, rap country song, it doesn't really sound country. It just sounds like, I don't know. This,
right.
It feels like Little Nas X. First of all, that name is crazy.
It is. I'm like, what?
Yeah. You know. But on top of that, I like the I like the content he was talking about.
Heck yeah.
I like the beat. And for people like me and you, I guess even though it's a novelty song, we know it's for fun. But I guess for people like us, we see that as a step forward.
Heck yeah! I'm totally on the hashtag Yeehaw agenda.
Yeehaw.
Like, I am so down.
Unfortunately, everybody isn't on the Yeehaw agenda.
Well, that's too bad for
them.
They don't have taste.
Okay, sorry. So for the people who don't know what's going on, we're going to show you the first Lil Nas X Old Town Road dance challenge. You'll be able to get a feel for it.
Snap.
And then we'll talk about all the people that are beefing with it and having problems with it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so let's check out this first challenge. Okay, this is Cupcake. This is a Cupcake remix. That's cool.
Whoa.
That's cool. Cupcake, if you ever, she does like the real, like, nasty-ish.
Yeah, I follow, yes.
It's called Old Town Ho.
Yeah. Oh my God, it is. I love it.
Yeah.
I live.
All right, and so this is good. We're going to get to this anyway. But Jonathan, I don't know if you can scroll up to the very first link, and it's under intro song dance video, and it's a challenge. Yeah, that one right there.
Old Town Road.
Everybody's been doing like the cowboy hip hop challenge, dance challenge.
See, and that's I guess it's up now, but that's another thing I kind of have an issue with.
Okay. All right, let's see.
But I feel like for the summertime, like, we need to, as blacks, we need to come together with a line dance for this. Like,
okay.
We really got to get it together.
Okay. Then you know what, Jonathan? That's my bad. I totally gave you the wrong one. But so with that said, let's just move on to the next one. We're going to go on to our source of tweets.
Okay.
And I've been telling you there's been all these people beefing back and forth.
First
of all, Old Town Road shot up to number one.
Yes. Yes, it did.
It shot up to number one. And Dave East, rapper from New York, I F with him, you know, but he's a lyrical miracle guy. He had a problem with it, came on and saying it was whack. What do you think about his comment?
I mean, I watched it. I God, I don't know. I feel like it's a start, though, for us to really, like, take back the country genre that black folks started. I feel
that
like
comes
it's
from
a
blues.
Good start. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I get it from, with him being from the East Coast, he probably doesn't really understand it and get it, and he doesn't care, you know, but I don't know. I feel like I'm not going to knock his hustle. I love it.
And this is the like the heat that Dave East was getting. It's like, yo, man, you don't have a hit yet. You want to get a hit yet, so
right.
Don't hate on somebody that has a hit. And he's all about the bars, and I did that. I like
you.
Dave East, but honestly, nobody really knows about him outside of New York, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I feel you. And I feel like, if, with that being said, people view him as just being jealous and being a hater.
Basically, that's how it came off, even if that wasn't intentional.
I feel you.
But, you know, Twitter, everybody's got a lot to say.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to go right to this first page where we scroll down and see a series of tweets. So, after Dave East says that, old man Ebro from Hot 97... Mm. He basically defends Dave East and his right to say it.
Really?
Yeah. So we're going to go in and see what Ebro says.
Okay.
After Dave East kind of hates, Ebro comes in and says, well, you know, Dave East is supposed to dislike Old Town Road because hip-hop needs him, too. Like, hip-hop needs Dave East, too, so it's okay. He's supposed to hate. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Needs him, too. I think I feel like both can exist.
Yeah.
Like, we could use Dave East, and we can use somebody like Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
I feel like rap should also be fun. I love the humor in it.
Thank
That's why
you.
I love Timbaland. I love Missy Elliott.
Uh-huh.
Ludacris, when he first hopped on the scene, his shit was hilarious.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I love that. We still need that.
Most definitely. Yeah. And then also, Lupe Fiasco jumped in. He's always jumping in beefs.
Child.
So he jumped in. We're still on the same page below the Ebro tweet. And the Shade Room actually captured it where Lupe said, Ebro, who's out of Ebro, stop speaking for hip-hop as a whole.
You know, I feel that too.
Yeah,
yes.
And basically, I'm from the same era. The Ebro's from, I love golden era, 90s hip-hop. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got to be, like, open-minded, in my opinion. And I definitely know I don't speak for, like, hip-hop as a whole.
Right, for real. But I feel like as black folks, since we're not a monolith, I feel like we don't have to be a monolith in hip-hop either.
100%. Yeah. That's the good thing about hip-hop. You can have, like, hip-hop classical, hip-hop.
Exactly.
I don't know, whatever.
Exactly. Some fun stuff like Lil Nas, and then you got East Coast rap.
There's room for everybody.
Yes, they can all exist at once.
All right, good. So now we also got DJ Akademiks jumping in the beat.
Bleach my ears.
So I don't know if we can actually scroll down to that. We can see the actual tweets, but it's pretty funny. Basically, I'll tell you, Ebro has always had this axe to grind with Akademiks.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just ask this to you.
Okay.
One of the things you see a lot of times with Twitter back and forth, that it's not, in my opinion, I feel like it's not necessarily over substance. It's maybe because I have a problem with you before, or I'm more inclined to this side, so I'm going to use
that.
Something you said as leverage. I don't know.
Wait.
Anyway, okay, so you agree with that? Okay,
yeah.
So that's what I feel
that's
like.
That's a thing.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a thing. It's a thing right here. It's a thing right here with DJ Akademiks, and I think Akademiks kind of echoed the whole, like, Ebro, you know, you're kind of, he goes by old man Ebro, you're kind of out of it.
Right.
And, but Ebro does some shady-ish. He pulls up an old tweet that Nipsey Hussle, God rest his soul, R.I.P., you know, he's like, you know, I'm from that same neighborhood, Baldwin Hills, Crenshaw District. But I just thought that was in poor taste. So basically, it's a tweet of a neighborhood Nip dissing Akademiks, even though they talked about it. So, yeah. So first, let's go to Akademiks. Akademiks says, how Ebro calling for hip-hop to have some accountability with Old Town Road when, according to his job title, he should be overseeing hip-hop and R&B editorially at Apple and at Apple Music. And that same exact song is top five on all the big playlists. Make this make sense. And so that's, of course, when, you know, Ebro pulled out the Nipsey Hussle, you know, quote thing, which I felt
that
like
is,
was kind of like
that's
out of context.
Yeah, like too soon, first of all.
Too soon.
Don't do that.
Don't use like a dead man's words to win your argument.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That says so much more about you and your character.
Basically.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And Ebro retweeted this interview that Nip had.
Okay.
Nipsey Hussle talks about Akademiks and Complex and how he doesn't respect doesn't respect the culture and how he tried to clown 21 Savage for saying he wasn't buying jewelry anymore because he was focusing on investing. And that goes to that old scenario. I read for Neighborhood Nip hardcore.
Right.
But it goes to that thing where I think I critiqued his music, so that's why he took that stance in the first place.
Yeah, I feel that.
Right.
Yeah. Akademiks, I struggle to take him seriously in anything.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why it's easy to just like, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be a joke. It's kind of farcical.
Right.
It's kind of theater.
For sure.
Right?
Oh, yes. For sure.
So,
for sure.
Yeah, with that said.
Old Town Road, I think it's dope, but I understand both sides, but I feel like it's going to pave the way for Black folks who are really, truly doing country music and taking us back to our roots. So
I agree 100%. Yeah. It's a fun song.
What my issue is mostly as far as, like, white folks who are saying that it's not country music, like, I've noticed more and more that country rap artists are taking over. Like, they're starting to rap in their country songs. Why is it okay when they do it, but not when Lil Nas X does it?
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding. Good point. You know what I'm saying?
That's like when we start playing the conspiracy music.
So how come?
You know? When we do it.
Right. No, but for real.
All right. No, yeah. Good point. I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to move on to the next segment.
Let's do it.
All right. Have you heard about this guy, Sean Grubbs Robichaud? You said you have, but I'm throwing that out there for you as well as the audience, because this is the guy who there's the video we're going to show this, who after a Howard University student comments about, you know, basically like gentrifiers like walking their dog and having their dogs poop and pee in their yard, he's basically comes in and tells them, well, yeah, you know, maybe they need to move. So it's a real funny video. So let's go ahead and throw to the clip and let's watch that.
This white man, I'm gonna let you hear what this white man said. And then I'm gonna get into it. I'm gonna let all the people that just joined get here with me.
I feel like it's disrespectful to have the pets just running around, especially when there are several parks around here.
So basically, this is Howard University. Right across the street, like the park. This is facing Howard University. If you were to turn the camera around, it's a big school called Banneker with a big park right there, like two football fields.
And while this commentary is going, keep letting it roll, Jonathan. I'm just going to say this is a YouTuber named Akintunde.
Okay.
I kind of rock with him a little bit, but eventually he's going to get to the other guy's response.
Okay.
Not be doing their business. They let their little doggies poop on the yard. So it's a big thing now.
Yeah. So hopefully, okay, here we go, yeah.
Official stance, but students have plenty to say, accusing neighboring residents of using the yard, which is the heartbeat of Howard University's campus, as an outdoor gym or a place to walk their dog. The yard is for the students, and although everyone loves pets, I feel like it's disrespectful to have the pets just running around, especially when there are several parks around here. If they come on the yard and they're just walking through, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but I still feel like there are other ways to get around D.C. without having to cut through a college campus.
And we're going to get into Sean Grubbs Robichaud's response. Here it is.
If they don't want to be within D.C., then move the campus.
He told them to move the campus. So, yeah, you can stop it right there, Jonathan. And my fault, people, because I kind of chimed in to try to set it up. But what triggered a lot of people was this cat said, if they don't like where it is, they should move the campus.
That's so irritating.
Your thoughts, first off.
I mean, as somebody who I've been studying environmental racism for a while and just discussing how gentrification is a part of environmental racism. And what do they expect us to do? Like, can we just break down Howard campus and load it on a U-Haul? Like, what really? It's really irritating that white people expect us to move for them a lot, and especially like move a whole campus. I get the sarcasm in that, but that's really move to Kansas.
And like,
really?
I agree 100%. Let me throw out just another layer to it because I do feel homeboy was probably being sarcastic. It's not like we're not going to give the white guy his fair day in court. That was like very like inappropriate statement, I think, in that context.
Yeah.
But also, his whole thing of referring to people like him who've just moved to D.C., I guess as far as like, well, we all live here and we're all equal owners. I was taught if you move to somebody else's neighborhood, you show them deference.
Right.
I was taught that like if I walk into somebody else's house and they let me be a guest or I rent a room, I still, you know, kind of like defer to them. That's the whole thing about entitlement, I think, that really bothers me. You can go into a neighborhood, but don't start trying to like rearrange everything. I don't know.
It's the same thing as what I was taught, you know, just being from the South and being black. I feel like whenever you walk into somebody's house, you need to speak to the room. And it's the same thing as whenever you move into a neighborhood, you need to understand the culture.
Yeah.
And you might have to be the one to assimilate into that area, but white people are not used to that. And that's so frustrating.
And they're used to, you know, well, we got the money, we moved in here. So I get it. You got the money, you move in there. But I don't know, man. So immediately you got the backlash. They started doxing him. started going to his Twitter.
Where does he live?
And his IG.
Where does he work?
You know, all that stuff. And we can't even show his IG because they got all these funky naked pictures of him. He's a real freaky
dude. No.
Yeah, he's a real freaky dude.
Uh-uh.
So I think now he's learning a valuable lesson.
Yes, he should.
So God bless that. You know, DC, you know, it's going to be, we all have to live together. But it's like, yo, man, show some deference to the students.
You have to show me his Instagram off
okay,
this show.
We'll do that. We'll do that off the air.
Oh, my God.
All right. So moving right along.
Yes.
Your boy Kanye. Immediate cringe.
Yes.
So Kanye's at it again. I actually, he played at Coachella.
Yeah.
And I actually almost went. Somebody was kind of offering me tickets and it never worked out. And that was the only reason I was going to go because I heard Kanye was going to do his whole Sunday service thing. What do you hear about the whole Sunday service?
So is that what he's been preparing for?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's for Coachella.
Well, he hasn't said he's been preparing for it, but he's been doing this Sunday service, and I believe it's all
the past few months
strategically led up to this. That's my opinion.
That's what I was wondering, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure, okay, first of all, this is a cult. I don't care what anybody says. This is a cult. Y'all, everybody can fight me. But, I mean, I feel like he's really got people just singing around, like, for him, and it's almost as if they're praising him as Jesus. One thing I do appreciate, though, is as black people, we're not, you can't really use religion to get us to be on your side anymore. That doesn't work, so I really appreciate
that. So you see that as a transparent ploy since Kanye was stuck over there on the MAGA side. He's trying to get back in. Black people and black churches, good gracious.
To me, he's still in a sunken place.
Okay.
All right,
yeah, so I think most people agree. Let me throw this out. Let me play a devil's advocate.
Oh, God.
What about Kanye, you know, he put out Jesus Walks. That was his first hit.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I thought it was brave to come out with a song like that, talking about Jesus, you know, and his Christian beliefs. What about if Kanye is one of the first artists to do that on such a big level, maybe he gets the benefit of the doubt that his heart is in the right place about, you know, church and Jesus Walks, and obviously, you know, maybe a little ego and, you know, Hollywood and theatrics got mixed into it. But maybe his heart could have been in the right place. I don't know.
I feel that. Maybe it could have been, but intent doesn't change outcome.
That's true.
So, I mean, we are still not over. Literally just last year, you know, in 2017 and 2018, he was trying to meet with Trump, tell us that Trump's not that bad of a person, and he's absolutely freaking terrible. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry. It doesn't absolve him of anything. Of his ignorance.
I hear you, and I think one of the things that you're going to see when we throw to the clip is just the way it's shot. So much of how things are shot.
Mm.
Okay, at Coachella, it's normally like a stage, and people have standing room only, close to the stage. He was on this hill like he was giving Sermon of the Mount. Here's a good still frame of it.
Yes,
here's a good still frame.
I was just watching this
He
again.
Was on the hill, and all the performers were on a hill like they were giving Sermon of the Mount, and like the crowd was like yards away, at least maybe like 30 yards away.
Yes.
Maybe it was like a barricade, so there was no connection, so it really... Yeah, and here's a picture of, like, the church socks
Get
and all the merch.
Get out of my face.
Yeah. So, basically, they were selling Trust God t-shirts, which you can make at the swap meet for, like,
$200. Okay, listen. I can
make
both of
y'all. Church socks on them, you know, for, like, $60.
Listen, I know how to sew. I can iron those letters on. Get out of here.
Yeah, so that was the biggest problem, the merch. The church merch that he was hawking.
Listen, but you're so right about the visuals. You have to think about the imagery and the way that he was propped up, you know, and having his, like, followers, basically.
Yes.
It does not look
and
good.
And I believe in his mind that he was probably praying to his own God, but it didn't come off like that.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't come
no,
off like
that. No, it doesn't.
That. All right, so let's go. Obviously, Black Twitter had a big reaction.
Okay.
So let's go to my first link. Joe Budden has a nice response. Joe Budden says...
to everything.
And he's always he's definitely subbing
You
him.
Know?
From justifying bigotry on your people to church merch at Coachella choirs. God bless us all.
Child, listen, the world is ending.
Yeah.
I just... Because he was playing right before our show, and I was watching him All Falls Down or whatever. They were playing that, and I was like, I can't stand him. I never thought that I would get to that point
where I would
say, I cannot stand watching All Falls Down by Kanye. Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, I think, too, Kanye's been in such a rough place financially. I mean, obviously, he's married to Kim, but a guy wants to feel like they can... They feel pressure to feel like they're independent. They can earn their own. So I think he feels this honest financial fear to have to, like, really push this merch on all of his tours, this overpriced merch, and all these publicity stunts.
I feel that because that iron-on letter shirt was $70.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Sloss and swap meet, people.
Okay.
12 bucks.
Okay. But I wanted that, too. I feel like he's under pressure, and he's kind of losing his fan base a little bit.
That's I don't want to say I'm giving him a benefit of the doubt, but I'm trying to give it context. I think, you know... Obviously, I think we all have great intentions, and I understand what you're saying. It's not about just intentions; it's about the results.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to understand why he does a lot of the things he does. And it's obviously, if you're not in a good place, if you're anxious, if you feel unsteady, if you feel pressed, you don't necessarily make the best decisions.
Not at all. And I feel like, you know, just being in the Kardashian clan, he's got a lot of yes people around him. They're not going to tell him, listen, this doesn't translate well to the majority of black people.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a given. I mean, it's kind of brought it on himself, you know.
You know?
It's kind of saying, I don't want a lot of publicity. I don't want to be known for my music, but I'm going to marry Kardashians. Like,
right,
knock it off, dude.
Right.
Knock
and he's doing so much for publicity now. Yeah. You know what I mean? It kind of shows that he's just grasping at anything.
I think he's feeling desperate, like he's less and less relevant.
Yes, yes, less influential.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so, Jonathan, thank you so much, man. Oh, here's another tweet. Okay.
Oh, no, that's exactly. He definitely looked like a deck. It looked like the Teletubbies.
Somebody said Kanye out here with the Teletubbies influences. Legends, inspiring legends.
Listen, and I love the Teletubbies.
And for those who didn't see the live, did you peep the live stream?
No.
They literally, and this is a camera trick.
Okay.
They literally put like a cone or even like a toilet paper roll, just anything that's cylindrical to kind of give you that vignette look.
That's what people were saying. Oh,
so he did that. Now, I actually think it was cool, but they did that the entire time, at least that I saw the
Get
live.
Get out of here. So it's like you're on the outside looking
and
in.
Another thing
at
to distance
and
yourself
worship
from
service.
The audience, and then and again, you brought up a really good point because psychologically those things affect you as
Ooh,
a viewer.
Listen, so, see, it's not translating.
It's like looking
well.
Way over there on the telescope on the hill,
baby.
So
listen,
here are Twitter
okay?
reactions.
I can't.
People falling out their chair.
So, not.
Yeah. So, Jonathan, if we can go back, you had the blast treat. Source the blast link up. If we can go back to that too, and then the guy we see the videotape. Maybe just we'll watch some of the video again, and then let's see if we can scroll down some more of the tweets once we're
Jesus
through with this.
Christ,
so yeah, Kanye
pissed off fans because he's selling socks for $50.
$50 socks? I didn't even see that.
Sunday service thing. But if you're a true fan, you really couldn't see the thing because you had to be behind a barricade where all the real people, the real Sunday service people, were up on an elevated hill. Everyone was there. Kris Jenner, Kim, Northwest, and even Travis Scott with Kylie Jenner. But the real headline is that he's selling merch that is way overpriced and people are upset. So there was a lot of sweatpants and shirts and stuff they were selling. But what got the most attention were these socks that say
church socks
and Jesus socks.
Church socks,
literal
Jesus socks. Literal church
I
socks.
Can't.
All right, that's cool, Jonathan.
But that's
thanks.
Funny, though.
Yeah, it is funny. And I actually like the idea of the church socks, but I'm wondering if they should have been the real, like, see, guys, we call church socks they're kind of like the silk, thin black socks.
Yes,
I wonder if they should have
been
real
been
church socks.
It should have
been
that material. It should have absolutely been that material. I'm sorry. That's funny. I can't stand it,
is,
but that's funny.
It is funny.
God
it is
damn
funny.
It.
You know, so what'd you think of the wardrobe? You know, he had on the same kind of like tan, gray,
yeah, like
stuff
post-apocalyptic
they used before.
Type
the same,
of.
Yeah, the same
you know,
style.
I'm not surprised, honestly. I had a feeling that's what he was going to carry on, that type of aesthetic throughout Coachella, because we've kind of seen that already during the Sunday service clips and stuff, you know, these past few months. So I wasn't surprised.
Right,
so ugly. Sorry. But I wasn't surprised.
I agree. You know what it comes off to me, too? When Kanye was putting out his fashion line, I felt like all I saw were the Yeezy, all different types of Adidas, and then that stuff because he couldn't afford to make anything else. I don't know. So we know you know, he's probably throwing a few sweatsuits in there and all that, but
right?
I don't think his line is that deep.
It's not. It's really
not that expansive.
Oh no, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
I'm
all
not
right.
Feeling
so Kanye, we're gonna put a pin in Kanye. Kanye, we're gonna pray for you, brother.
Okay.
We're gonna pray for you. God, look out for our brother Kanye. Bring him back home. And with
Burns
that said, you haven't been on the show before, but this is time for my famous woke segment.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
This is my woke segment. So everybody, let me talk to my woke camera right here. All right, everybody. I've been keeping you updated on the ADOS movement. And for those of you who don't know what hashtag ADOS stands for, it stands for American Descendants of Slavery. And it's obviously a hashtag that people get behind Twitter, a real movement. And the focus of the group is to get reparations for black people. And the reason they specifically say American descendants of slavery is because they're not, even though there's been black people enslaved all over the world, which is, you know, it's part of our plight.
Yeah.
Caribbean, whatever. But this is specifically to get descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, chattel slavery.
Okay.
Like if your parent was an American slave.
Okay.
As opposed to like Barack Obama, who, you know, is from Kenya, God bless him, but his ancestors weren't in American chattel slavery.
Feel
Makes
you.
Sense. So anyway, so that's the move. But the reason, let me ask you, it's do you think that's controversial?
Yeah. Oh, dang. Well, it's controversial because of the founder.
Okay.
You know, so yes.
Yvette Cornell and Tone Talks.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me what you've heard about them. This is interesting.
So I haven't seen a whole lot of her. She's kind of been behind the scenes, and now it makes sense why, but she seems to be a little bit too, like, pro-Trump.
Okay, so that's the critique, and this is where I'm going to push back. I get it. That's the critique.
Please,
she did tweet something.
Please help me out. Help me
she
understand.
She did tweet something that was pro-Trump. And
yeah.
Jonathan, if we could go to her Twitter, or I'm going to pull it up at the same time.
Right.
But Yvette Cornell, she's very pushes a pro-black agenda, but I think one time she said Trump looks presidential on this. And here's the subtext to it, where she's clearly not a Trump supporter. She has no ties to him financially, like they've been trying to hint. But I think she agrees with Trump on immigration, which makes it controversial. So,
God, yeah.
So, again, what do you think about, you know, see, ADOS seems to be at odds with the immigration and open immigration.
Open border
doors,
and
open
everything.
Borders.
Yeah, well, then I can't support that because I don't agree with having borders. Although we didn't necessarily immigrate.
Right,
over
we were
here.
Forced to immigrate.
You know
we were
what I'm
forced
saying?
Over here.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we were forced to do work, but I'm sorry. I just can't support that because I don't feel like we should have borders.
Okay. Well, yeah. All right, good. Well, let's go to the tweet. We got Talib Kweli, rapper.
Yeah.
You know, he used to rap with Mos Def as well as Love Mos Def. Love Black Star.
Yes.
Dope group. Going back and forth with Yvette Cornell of Breaking Brown. So, okay, so let's look at this first one.
We're up.
So, Yvette Cornell and Tone Talks have been, you know, laying the foundation for ADOS.
Okay.
And Talib Kweli says, "You're lying. Hashtag ADOS founder Yvette Cornell is pro-Trump. Receipts. You deny these receipts. ADOS MAGA sister trash." So, basically, and I think he has, like, her photoshopped in a Trump hat. And, you know, but let's continue to scroll down. Let's go to where Breaking Brown, Yvette Cornell makes a response, Jonathan. It's, like, halfway down. Okay, yeah, maybe it was up. You were right. It was probably up a little more. Breaking Brown. Okay, so at Breaking Brown, that's the name of Yvette Cornell's move-in and her Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
"And what does blood and soil mean? It certainly means to me that ADOS have fought in every American war since the country's inception. And yes, we want the fruit of our citizenship. Absolutely. Got a problem with that, Joy." And basically, I think it goes back to the whole immigration thing. Here's Yvette Cornell's argument.
Yeah.
She's not anti-immigrant. She's black people from all over, from Panama, black person, we all in the same thing.
Yeah.
But I guess her thing was, before you start taking in other people, take care of the people that have been here for 400 years and their ancestors have already worked. Mm. Give us our share off the top before you start letting other people in and start giving it to everybody. And basically, the movement, the counter movement is making it more of like an all lives matter, making a class thing. And everybody comes from slavery at some point, as opposed to specific black descendants of chattel slavery.
Right. Ooh, see, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like she does have a plan. It's just like with Kanye.
Yeah.
She has, you know, great intentions, but she really needs to flesh out this idea.
I agree with you 100%. This is my own critique. Yvette Cornell is very controversial. She got into a Boyce Watkins. She disliked Minister Farrakhan. You can think about what you want with all those guys.
Right.
But she's kind of gotten to a lot of Twitter beefs and arguments with people. Mm-hmm. So she's very divisive.
Right.
So she's somebody that could have a very good movement, but is very divisive herself.
I have a question for you. Do you not feel that America can do both?
I think we should do both.
Yeah.
I think we should. But I think the ADOS descendants should get theirs off the top.
Yeah.
I just think that's just personally. I'm down for supporting immigrants. I'm down for supporting all people of color. But let's take care of something that's been nagging this economy and that's been impacting us for 400 years.
Before you
start taking everybody else. And that's what I think what it comes down to. Who are you going to cut the check to and when are you going to cut the check? Instead of trying. And if we go down to Talib Kweli, let me read another one of his tweets.
Yeah.
"When did Breaking Brown," he's talking about Yvette Cornell, "publicly attack me, or why did she publicly attack me, a pro-reparations black activist for being anti-Trump? Explain that. I had never heard of ADOS before she sent me this hateful tweet. Why is it okay for her to publicly attack pro-reparations people?" And to give it context, again, I agree that, you know, black people, you know, we should try to be unified.
Yeah.
I think one of our biggest problems, too, is that we start gathering with other people and allies when we need to get on the same page first. That's just my opinion. But anyways,
you feel like we invite too many people to the cookout?
I don't, possibly, or we go enjoy somebody else's cookout.
Okay.
And I'm saying we can have a cookout. Right. Let's just get our cookout established first.
Right.
Then we can invite everybody okay. else. Because if our house isn't solid, you know, you know. So anyway, so
I feel you.
That, and I think that's kind of Yvette Cornell's point because Talib Kweli actually said, "What's the use of screaming reparations in the void if we still have?" Like a Donald Trump. That was his point.
Right. How do we make that happen under someone like him?
But here's Kasha's point, and I'm going to give some pushback too, just because I feel like the ADOS movement actually came because we had somebody like as extremely racist as a Trump.
Mm.
And out of that, you had the ADOS movement versus, say, with before Barack Obama, you know, he was like, well, you know, let's take care of all people, black, brown, and if we give it to the, you know, to the, let it trickle down by class, everybody will get it. So I feel like it really crystallized the issue for me.
Yeah. Okay. I feel
that's just the point. Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, so you people out there, yeah. What do you think?
Tell us.
Do you think we need to get somebody like Trump out the White House? And what Talib's specifically saying is elect all these moderate Democrats like Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. That's what he's saying. His brother works for the Democratic Party. Talib's basically saying vote Democrat. And then I tend to side more on the side where I'm tired of voting Democrat. I tried that. They take black people's votes for granted. And it's time for us to just focus on our agenda. And, you know, and for what it's worth, they got everybody talking about reparations again.
I feel that. Yeah, I feel that, too. And I'm really excited to see what comes from this.
Uh-huh.
Really quickly, have you heard her, like, is she going back to the drawing board and coming back with something else new so that it makes more sense to all of us? Is she doing any revisions?
You can go to Breaking Brown, and she breaks it down a lot more specifically.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
they actually, like, break it down to a number, too.
Okay.
which I think is important.
Then I'll check that out.
Yeah, I think it's important. Like, they put an actual figure on economic exploitation. You know, the thing is, okay, this is how much we give to Israel. We give to Israel because they've, you know, it's basically reparations to restore them after World War II.
Right.
A large part of our economy goes there. We even, as messed up as it is, as we did the Native Americans, we gave them, you know, the reservations. And that's a jacked up deal.
Yes,
but
it
was something. But they also got, like, these tax breaks on their casinos.
I hear
so
you.
There's a way to put a number on it. I think their issue is every time we try to put a number on it, then they switch it to the All Lives Matter thing.
I feel you.
Anyway.
Okay.
All right. So with that said, everybody. We're going to wrap things up. Thank you for joining us. We come to you guys every Monday night at 7 here on BHL at Black Twitter. And I'd like to say a special thanks to my guest co-host, Ivana.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much again. Thank you for inviting me. This was amazing. I love having conversations like this.
Ivana, you did a great job. Why don't you drop your socials so people know where to find you?
Oh, again, y'all can find me on everywhere at Hey, I'm Ivana. Again, it's at Hey, I'm Ivanna. Just chat with me about our show and make sure you follow me, y'all. So I look forward to seeing y'all.
Reach out to her and everybody. Meet us here next week. My name is Al Gregg. You can find me on at Jamaica House Doc on Twitter and on IG at @Algie_JamaicaHouseFilm. Blah!
Whoop!
Blah!
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined. Tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital